Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Back in Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, from Bloomfield School District, Superintendent Dr. Kim Mizell is my guest this morning. Dr. Mizell, welcome back to KSJE.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Busy time because, of course, the state legislature is meeting in Santa Fe. They're in the middle of their 30-day session. What types of things are you hearing out of the roundhouse?
Well, there's quite a few things moving through right now. I'm headed down there this week.
Okay.
And we'll hear from some of the representatives and have discussion, and we'll have the Secretary of Education will talk about their agenda. The thing that we're looking at right now is the Legislative Finance Committee and the Legislative Education Study Committee and then the executive budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that kind of surprises us is the Legislative Finance Committee. They're recommending cuts. And so that's always concerning. And the cuts are in places that really don't make sense to us, like the lunch programs, which is a governor's initiative. So we're going to see how this plays out as far as what's going to happen with that. Bloomfield will not be impacted by that because we qualify for 100% free lunch in our area due to the economic status of the students. But other districts are very concerned because they're going to have to pick up the difference if they cut that funding. So that's always, start watching what's being recommended and start speaking up as a group, as an organization. So it's just a few things that are kind of concerning. The rule that's happening with getting rid of the four-day schools where they go to school 4 days a week.
Some districts have that, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And that's a hot topic as well. Right now it's still in review and they're debating, having discussions, but it was a lot of the smaller micro districts were very opposed to it. And they sent people in school buses to the Capitol to protest. So we're in a heated discussion with some things that are coming down. And this year, most of the time, the 30-day session is just about the budget.
Right.
But there's some some of the agendas that are on there is kind of a little out of ordinary for this session. So we'll be watching that and seeing how it goes.
Got you. I'm surprised to hear you mention maybe some cuts to some programs because I thought, and I think it's true, that the state still has a lot of revenue coming in. And so not that they have to throw money at things, but why would they want to maybe cut a program that's maybe working unless they felt it wasn't working?
Well, I just don't understand why that's happening.
And this is from one of the committees that meets throughout the year.
Yes, the Legislative Finance Committee. And they're, obviously very conservative. They're bottom line business people and they're looking at the budget. And, there's always that concern with all the increases every year. Can we sustain it?
Sure.
With the revenue to the state? And so they may know something more than we do as far as the projections and what's going to happen. And so it was just surprising to me in particular when I was seeing what was being presented. So the one thing that we are hearing is that they're putting forth maybe a 4-3% raise for educators. So that's always nice. So we'll see.
We'll see
how it goes.
Very, very true. And like you say, mostly the 30-day sessions are about passing a budget. That is kind of their primary job. Mm-hmm. And whatever the governor puts on her call or the other things do get in front of committees and things, but we'll see what happens. And this is about midway through, I believe.
It is.
So they've got another 2 weeks to figure it out.
All the school boards throughout the state will be there this week.
Okay.
They're starting on Friday and Saturday. They have a session all day. They do trainings. And a lot of times they'll have representatives come and speak. And so It's a provides them with a lot of the information and the things that are moving through the legislative session. A lot of them visit the Capitol and go and speak to their legislators because they're elected officials, and the legislators usually make themselves available to talk to them about concerns and things. But so it's always an exciting time of the year, I think, for a lot of them.
Right. Right, exactly. I've heard, too, maybe some talk about the school year and some of those other conversations and graduation requirements. That's also something that's still being talked about and discussed, I believe.
Yes, we just received some communication around that. They had been talking about moving towards a portfolio for some students, and then also like an honorary graduation certificate for children with special needs children, rather than a traditional diploma. So that's always concerning. I mean, so we'll see what the recommendations will be and what's coming forward. So I'll be watching everything.
Okay. Well, and you'll report back to us, because I know we'll be talking after the session ends, of course. So we'll look forward to that. I know also we were talking before we came on the air this morning about school grades that have been released recently. And how did Bloomfield do?
They'll be coming out here in the paper fairly soon. Bloomfield did well. We're very pleased that we were able to, you know, when we went through the pandemic, it felt like we were starting over. We had been getting a lot of traction with monitoring and the progress of students, and our trajectory was just uphill.
Mm-hmm.
So we were excited about that.
The direction you want.
Mm-hmm. And so I was excited about that. And then we ended up with a pandemic and very concerned about our students. But we had put things in place virtually that I think helped us sustain, at least maintain that progress. So we ended up being traditional, and which means you're not failing, you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
We do have our alternative high school that is basically getting recommendations to the state for the graduation rates, but that doesn't make sense because our alternative high school has one of the highest graduation rates of any alternative high school, but they're measured on a traditional high school standard. So I did speak with the secretary about that. I said, that doesn't make sense to me. And he goes, yeah, I know. But that's what they have, the standards that they have.
Right.
So like our graduation rate was 74%, and that's very high for an alternative high school. So,
and not a lot of students, I might say, too, right?
No,
I
mean, maybe 100, 130 at the highest.
Compared to Bloomfield High School, which
right,
has maybe several hundred.
Yeah. 750. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's pretty good considering, of course, we would like 100%.
Right.
But, you know, there are, you know, those students are students that the traditional high school scenario has not worked for them. So we've provided a credit recovery process and support them in obtaining that diploma. And so that's just, I think it's something that needs to be looked at for
right.
the state. So that's what I'm pushing for right now.
Sure. Well, and again, I'm not a math person. That's why I'm a broadcaster. But just, you know, rough numbers, if you have a smaller student population and one or two don't make it to graduation, that's a bigger chunk of your percentage, right? That,
exactly.
That puts that at 75%, but it may equal just like four or five students.
It was
students.
Four students.
Yeah. So they carry a lot of weight, I guess,
right.
in a smaller population.
Right, but you get penalized.
Understood.
Based on that. So anyway, they came and they conducted their visit, and they gave some recommendations, you know, and and that's okay. It's
right.
okay to have someone come in from the outside and give recommendations and look at things from a different perspective. And so we welcome that. We feel like we have a very successful alternative high school, but we can always improve.
Right. So. And so these grades and the information is coming out, you mentioned in the newspaper. Is there other places folks, I imagine the state's website will probably publish some of these things as well for
yes.
all the districts
it
and,
should be
and things like that are coming
accessible
out?
Accessible fairly quickly. I don't remember the exact date. We will submit ours to the paper itself. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Gotcha. And for parents and guardians with students at Bloomfield Schools, they should take care with these numbers or these grades and know that things are still going in the right direction, and they can see that from the numbers and the letters?
It should help them to feel confident that their students and their children are in good hands with the educators in Bloomfield.
Okay, very good. Good to know. And that's one of those things I know that I think people always wonder, you know, how are we measuring what kids know? And there's a lot of arguments about assessments and tests and things like that, but there's really not a better way of my understanding to know how kids are doing, how they're learning, how they're retaining what they're learning than doing these assessments from time to time and kind of seeing how they started the year and how they're doing mid-year and what have you.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is mandatory.
Right.
There are some in-district assessments that I think are much more powerful for making educational decisions in the classroom. The mandatory test does not really tell us specifically what a child doesn't know or what they're not comprehending or how their understanding of the content is, where they're at in that. And so when we do these 3-week cycle or 7-week cycle interim assessments or formative assessments that we use in our system, that gives us a gauge and marching orders for teachers to get action plans for those individual students or groups of students that are achieving very high to enrich and to help them to understand more extensive level of understanding of the content. And so it really helps us move the students forward in the state standards and what we're supposed to be teaching. And if we don't do the internal assessments, it's a guessing game. You know, grades sometimes are subjective. But when we assess, we get a little better measure of their understanding. So it just helps us to drive instruction within the classrooms. So
Gotcha. It's
a crucial part of what we've been doing in Bloomfield for the last 9 years of my career. So, and it's helped us. Bloomfield had failing schools. They were not doing well when I came in. And we've worked really hard to put these systems and processes in place to ensure the students are getting the instruction they need.
Very good. And 9 years, is it 9 years?
Mm-hmm.
9 years. Time flies.
Yes.
Yes, when you're having fun.
That's right.
And when you're superintendent. I imagine both of those things are true.
Right.
But very good. Well, and I wanted to ask you, too, a little bit about your athletics. I think some of your sports teams are doing pretty well this spring.
We're always hopeful for our athletic programs, but I believe our girls' basketball team is undefeated. And so, and they are a smooth-running machine. I watched them play, and it's always a pleasure to watch the kids when they gel as a team. Our wrestling team, I think they're going to be pretty successful too. We have quite a few state champions coming back. And so I'm excited to see those students wrestle. And it's just a good time of year for winter sports.
Winter sports. Mm-hmm. I jumped the gun calling it spring sports. But
yeah,
we're not quite
winter,
there yet. We're still in the winter sports season. Mm-hmm. So makes sense.
The spring sports are already practicing, though.
Softball, well, it'll be here before
baseball,
we know it.
And
that's
the track
true.
Will kick up here pretty quick.
True.
I never liked practicing in this cold weather. So never too much fun outside.
True. That's very true. But it certainly gets you ready to go, I imagine.
Right.
Gets the blood pumping, as they
right.
say, right? So, well, congratulations to those teams. And it's great to get out and support athletics, no matter what the time of year is,
right.
And so really important to support the schools, and that's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Athletics is one part of a well-rounded student. I always want to give plugs to the choir kids, the band kids, the art kids too.
Yeah, our choir kids and our art program's a strong program. Our ROTC program's
that's
very strong.
Another one, right?
I believe the choir, they're going to go to competition up at Fort Lewis. And the band also, they take mm-hmm. competitions in different places.
So. Very good. Well, we wish them all the best as they wrap up the school year and start thinking about, gosh, May will be here before we know it. I don't want to jump the gun either, but it's coming, isn't it?
Yeah, we're already talking graduation and mm-hmm. getting the ranking down for valedictorian and salutatorian, so we're already moving forward.
There you go. Very good. My guest this morning, Bloomfield Superintendent Dr. Kim Mizell, is my guest. We're talking a little bit about some of the things going on in the Bloomfield School District. And of course, I always have to ask you about the GPA and the cars that'll be maybe available to some of your students at the end of the
yes.
school year. And
yes.
That is still an ongoing program that you also brought to the district when
right.
you arrived.
We'll be giving
9 years
cars
ago.
Away at the end of school.
Okay.
So, yes.
And that's based on GPA?
Yes, this year we split it. We went ahead and did the perfect attendance.
For one car.
For one car, and then the GPA for the other.
Okay.
So it's 3.5 GPA or higher. They can be eligible for a vehicle, and then if they have perfect attendance. So the perfect attendance one, the odds are in their favor because not very many people can accomplish that. So
right.
That's the one I would be going for as a kid if you're going to play the odds.
Okay, right.
With the GPA, we have quite a few children and students in that drawing. So
okay.
That's a good thing.
Which is a good thing. That's right. So very, very good. And I guess the students can maybe do the math and try to figure out their odds with perfect attendance or or what have you, but maybe make them think twice about not going to school now, you know, for whatever reason.
Right. I mean, you know, if you're not there, you're not learning, and
right.
That's the main thing. And that's initially what we started out with, and then we had the pandemic, and so we went and moved away from that and just did the GPA. But this year, they wanted to have two separate ones to see how that worked. So
okay.
We're trying something different
there,
this year.
There you go. Got you. And again, thanks to the generosity of local car dealers,
yes.
You're able to offer these vehicles mm-hmm. to your students, right?
Zymes is our partner on that. For both vehicles.
Okay.
And Mike at Zymes, he is such a great supporter of it, and he's always willing and really works to find nice newer used cars.
Right.
But our students are happy and thankful for whatever they get.
Sure. I would think so. And I know that we've talked about this in the past, that some of the students that have won these cars because of their academics or perfect attendance, some of them didn't even know how to drive yet when they were awarded these cars. Some of them, I don't think, ever thought they'd own their own car, have their own car, even, you know, helping out in the family. It's really been somewhat life-changing for some of these students.
It has.
Every
you know,
year.
The story, you know, I think it was last year, actually, a set of twins, mm-hmm. one of them won the vehicle, and they were so cute. The girl that won said, "Look at our car," you know, and they're sweet little twins in
yeah.
the school, and they're athletes, and so I'm sure their mom was picking up and driving them back and forth to playing soccer, and now they can drive themselves, and they're quite good athletes, so and good students. So that was neat to see, and just the little personalities that happen with that.
Right, great to see that, and to hear those stories, and I know you get to experience it firsthand when you make the announcement and see the reactions on the students' faces and what it means to them in all the different situations.
Right. Some of them were like they're shocked. I think most of them are shocked, and they don't quite know how to act when they think they can't believe it happened, but the afterwards and talking to them and the joy of it and calling their parents and telling their parents when they won a car, and then the parents are trying to figure out. One time the twins actually their parents were out of town, so they had to wait a week to get their car.
Oh dear. Okay.
Yeah. Get it signed over to their parents, but yeah, so it's just good. They're good stories.
Right.
You know.
And I know, I think the reason that you did this in Bloomfield Schools is to, again, make kids think about, you know, staying in school for that perfect attendance or doing well on their grades for this opportunity to win a vehicle. I mean, we put so much, I think, importance maybe on the freedom that a car provides, especially mm-hmm. in an area like ours that doesn't have a lot of mass transit options. Without a vehicle, you're kind of stuck. And so mm-hmm. having access to a car is a big deal.
Yes. And, you know, people, whether they realize it or not, there are students in Bloomfield that have never left Bloomfield. They haven't even been to Farmington. And people don't realize that. We have, you know, when you have 100% free lunches, you have a level of poverty there that is surprising to some people. There are some organizations that are recognizing that. We have a program called Save the Children that has come in, and they're national fundraising donors that provide us with clothing, all kinds of things for these kids, books, mm-hmm. tutoring. And so there are places that are understanding the need in our community, and I have recognized that over the years. And the climate of Bloomfield has changed from when I started to now. Obviously, you know, they were struggling before the pandemic, but now, you know, we have families that are tripled up, you know, where they're living with grandma, grandpa,
multi-generational situations.
And so I think anything that we can do as a educational system and institution to help these individuals to a better way of life is important and starts with education.
Right.
You know, and so
opens a lot of doors.
Opens the doors, and it also we had there was a significant dropout rate in Bloomfield, and that has diminished also. I think they're valuing their education, they're attending, and so just incentives to do better and try harder is kind of what I wanted to build into the educational process in Bloomfield, and I feel we've been successful.
Right. Well, and that's kind of what I think about when I say it's been life-changing for some of these students, mm-hmm. and maybe now they can say, well, I guess I could drive to San Juan College after
right.
I graduate
right.
and go to college and get another advanced degree perhaps and, mm-hmm. and figure out my career because I have this car now.
Right. And I think that's, you know, San Juan College is a great place to go. And it's right here and it's reasonably priced. You can get grant funding to go. And I think it's important that the students learn about that. And so the partnership's been wonderful that way.
Right. Very true. And scholarships, too. I would be remiss if I didn't mention
scholarships.
The San Juan College Foundation
scholarships
too, for students.
It's
so
incredible.
So that's an important part. And I guess that brings me to asking you about the Resource Center I know that Bloomfield has been working mm-hmm. on, because that's another area that's maybe beyond the traditional boundaries of education, but yet it provides a service to the community.
That has been a beautiful thing. We just recently received occupation approval, and so we'll be moving back into our new resource center and having a grand opening, and that's where we store the foods and the staples and the clothing. We did clothing drives. We have in many of the businesses, you know, like they get rid of all their stuff that maybe didn't sell. We had a great start of the school, back to school thing, and we had 1,000 people show up to get their clothes and underwear
right.
and socks for these children. And so that's what the purpose of that resource center is supposed to be about, and also opportunity for family education and use of computers and have technology that they come in and use if they need to apply for something, support for that. And so we're getting that up and going. We'll get into it. We had a remodel for it
mm-hmm.
and we're done. So
congratulations.
We've accomplished that. Yes. It's very exciting.
Very good. But that's another example, I think, of how, you know, the school district is stepping up to provide some of these things that you don't think about when you think about a school district mm-hmm. providing a clothing closet or food pantry for families.
Right. You know, gas is expensive, and even going to Farmington can cost families money. And so if we can have something right there that's in town for them to access, I think it provides a great service for our community.
Right. Very good. Well, I hope I'm on the invitation list because I would like
yes,
to come
make
by
sure you will.
And see it. We've been talking about it for a
right,
while. So
right, yeah.
I look forward to the grand opening and knowing what a difference I think it will make to the community.
Right,
so that's
yeah.
great.
We
just have a couple minutes remaining this morning, Dr. Mizell. And I know we've talked about this, I think, a little bit, but I don't think it's a secret that there's a search going on mm-hmm. in Bloomfield schools. And so that is ongoing. I know you're not directly involved with the search, but there's a superintendent's opening at the
yes.
end of this school year.
Yes, there is. I'm retiring, and they opened it up the 1st of January, and they've been accepting applications, and they'll be reviewing those applications.
This is the school board we're talking about, of course.
The school board, and there will be a committee of mm-hmm. people that will interview, and they'll be moving forward with replacing me. So,
I don't know if the word replace is accurate. Maybe just finding a new superintendent,
is
what I would say, because we've been talking about all the accomplishments, and I think it's very hard to replace some of the things that you have accomplished
in
Bloomfield.
You know,
so they'll find a new superintendent.
Right. They're going to bring someone in with a different perspective.
True.
I have a different management style, but I have faith and confidence in the school board. They're wonderful people, and their focus is about students, and so
yeah.
they'll make a good choice.
Good.
So I'm excited about that.
Very good. Well, as we look back on your 9 years of which we'll be doing in our visits, it's always great to talk about some of the things you brought to the district, and that means you've been with me for 9 years coming over here religiously almost every month during the school year to talk with me about all the successes and things going on in Bloomfield, so I do appreciate that too.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. You make things very easy. You're probably the easiest person to interview with I think I've ever met.
Well, that's kind of you to say, too. And our Mutual Admiration Society, we'll meet again next month. How's that?
That sounds good.
All right, Dr. Mizell, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you. Dr. Kim Mizell, Superintendent of Schools of the Bloomfield School District, my guest this morning here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.